One who did a better Kush Boy. Gemara says,
we can close the door here. Obviously, people want to make more.
My room's really clean because I'm prepared in the eyes.
Like in America, you have lawyers.
So, Barad or Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, says the Gemara, Amar Avani Barabo, Amar Rabbi Yitzchok. There's Menai and Shekosh Boko Meniach Tefillin. As the Gemara, we can close this door. Says the Gemara.
What says Menayim? Where do we know that a Kaddish Baruch Hu wears tefillin? Now, the Gemara doesn't say, yeah, does he wear tefillin? You know, of course, we have a famous question over here. Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't have a head, so how could he wear tefillin? It's a Gemara in Davar
Brachos. Is it that we don't have heads and
we do that?
No. We don't have it. Rosh. You know, in my high school yearbook, there was one kid who wrote under his picture, "How could you wear a hat if you don't know where your head is at?" Hey, my high school yearbook. How could you wear a hat? Anyway, the Gemara says, high school. Anyway, the Gemara says, doesn't ask, does he wear tefillin? The Gemara must be just want a source for it. You know that he wears tefillin. What's the source? So the source that the Gemara gives is Nishba Hashem b'yaminoi. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. It says Nishba Hashem b'yamino ubizroya uzoi. The pasuk says, yeah, that Hashem swears with his right hand ubizroya, and on his roya means here his left, and on his left is his strength. Now again, we have our own problem. You know, Hashem doesn't have a hand. You know, what are we talking about? Now, simply speaking, all of these psukim that describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in, so to speak, anthropomorphic terms, they're all using obviously mashalim. These are all mashalim to give us all the tools that we have. You know, our physical tools. So we use them to try to grasp and explain spiritual things. We have to describe them in physical terms, which is called a metaphor. You have to know how to read these things, like the Nefesh HaChayim, when he's talking about Tzelem Elokim, which is a man is created in God's image. So he says, you know, he has this other problem. Hashem doesn't have an image. What are we talking about? So he brings down a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, who says, Yirmiyahu writes about himself, "I'm like a bird in the desert, like a vulture in the desert." Kaat b'midbar. So Nefesh HaChayim says, this is what Yirmiyahu was saying about himself, "I'm like a bird in the desert." So he says, it doesn't mean to say, Yirmiyahu is not trying to say that it has a beak and feathers when he says, "I'm like a bird in the desert." Mm-hmm. Right? But rather, he's using a metaphor. A metaphor means you take one thing and you use that to try to teach you another point. You're not trying to take it literally. You're using it in a metaphorical way, a symbolic way to explain deeper truth. So when the prophet says, "I'm like a bird in the desert," he's trying to say that there's some quality that a bird has that I have as well. Obviously, if you take things literally, you miss the boat. It's silly to say that he's trying to say he has a beak and feathers. So also, he says, really what he's trying to say is what? He's trying to say that just like a bird in the desert wanders from place to place without a home, so also I wander from place to place without a home. But he's just using it as a dugma. So also he writes, when we talk about Tzelem Elokim, Hashem doesn't have an image, but we're trying to explain over here a quality, that some quality that Hashem has that he placed in man, that's all. It's not a literal image. Therefore he says that just as a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Elokim, he is Bal Kochot Kulam, he's the force behind all forces in this world. So Adam also is a force behind all forces in this world with his actions. And so he writes the whole first charm. Anyway, so also we have to grasp that sort of our face when we say that a Kodesh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. Where do we know it from? So we have to grasp, obviously it's trying to bring home to us there's some quality of Kodesh Baruch Hu that is similar to us. We're going to tell an Elohim in reverse that we wear tefillin. So whatever tefillin represents, so you should know Hashem also has that same quality. We have to try to grasp what that quality is, right? So I'm just, don't want anybody to start worrying, you know, take things literally and say, the Gemara says that Hashem really wears tefillin. It means he's a physical being, you know. People who learn like that, when you learn Agarota too literally, you destroy the world. People who are literalists and try to read Agarota just destroy the Kol HaTarkula. I mean, it's just the end of the end of the, so far, the end of the world. Yeah. Because you just can't do it that way. What's that?
When we learned the story of Torah, the Rambam, like, right, great length about saying, like, you know, can't, it's very, you have to be very careful in what you, like, the way you,
yeah, think they had to read it.
Like these images and things.
Of course.
Like
that. So obviously the Gemara is trying, isn't supposed to be literal here, it's obvious. But anyway, so you have to try to unravel this Gemara. So the Gemara asks, well, give me a source. So the Gemara says, Nishba Hashem v'yamino, that Hashem swears by his right hand and b'zroyo uzo, and but he has strength on his left. So the Gemara asks, what is Hashem's right? When we talk about Hashem's right, we're talking about the Torah. As it says, Mimino Esh Das Lamo, on his right is a fiery law to his people. So whenever we talk about Hashem's right, that's talking about Torah. However you learn, right is often chesed. That's the main midah of the person. Ubezroya Uzo, and what does it mean to say that on his left is his strength? Elu Tefillin. When it says Hashem has on his arm, he has his strength, that's tefillin. Because tefillin, it says, is the strength. Shenemar Hashem owes li amo yitain. Hashem gives strength to the Jewish people. And what strength does a Kodesh Baruch Hu give to the Jewish people? Tefillin. Tefillin is the strength of Am Yisrael. As it says, that all the nations of the earth are going to see Hashem called on us, and they're going to be afraid of us. Tefillin is our strength. Now, so the Gemara begins. It's a complex Gemara, which unfortunately, really, if I had a whiteboard here, I would, you know, put it on the board for you. You really need to see it inside to grasp these psukim. But anyway, where's, you have a whiteboard here?
Yeah.
Where is it for you? All right, let me continue, and if I need it, I'll bring it. If they don't take time, just start doing it. But we'll go little by little over here. You really need to see the words inside. Anyway, so I want to begin like this. First of all, a few introductions to this Gemara. The first introduction is that, in truth, the Gemara is actually discussing a nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu had. As we all know, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up at Har Sinai, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me see your face. Hashem said to him, you can't see my face and live, which means, when Hashem said, let me see your face, Moshe Rabbeinu said that I want to see, you know, you directly. I want to see Hashem, not in terms of how you're manifest in this world. One of the Mefarshim writes, Valtanya, he writes that there are two ways of coming to Ahava, and there are two ways of coming to Yira. He says the lower way of coming to fear or love Hashem is that you do it through the creation itself. You see the world, and you see the beauty of the world and the infinite complexity of the world around you, and through there you come to fear and love Hashem. Because that's the lower way of fear and love. Yeah, by, you know, seeing Hashem in the world around you and through His creation. He says that's the lower way of fear. The lower way of love is that you get pleasure. You get pleasure from finding the beauty of the creations around you. That gives you a deep pleasure which brings you to love of Hashem. It's the lower level of Ahava. Says, what's a higher level of Ahava? Says, a higher level of your fear and love is where a person yet doesn't connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the creation that he created, but he connects to Hashem through Hashem is in and of himself. That's already a completely different, higher thing. That now we all get stuck over here because we don't know what he's talking about, because all we know is the physical creation around us. But he says, even if a person, for example, would connect, for example, to a Kodesh Baruch Hu's we have his midot, which is stage number two, you know, where if a person would connect to a Kodesh Baruch Hu's midah of justice, so already that would give fear. And the truth is, and if a person would be bonein, and through the Bria come to grasp, you know, pure Ahava that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has for the world, and he's able to grasp in his head the concept of that pure Ahava. So that brings to an incredible, much higher level of love than just seeing it through the creation itself. It's a deeper grasp. Anyway, so Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to rise higher and higher until he could connect to Hashem. And the deeper he says, let me see your face. This is what he means. And Hashem says, you can't do it and live, because were you to see me, who am I, myself in this world, and not through my creations, you'd have to leave this world. You wouldn't be able to stay. And but Moshe Rabbeinu, but he had an idea, and he put Moshe in a cave, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed by the cave, and as he went by, Hashem showed him a prophetic image of himself davening. If you remember, we'll speak about this in another couple of weeks. And he says, Moshe Rabbeinu saw, it says, an image of Hashem, and he saw in the back of his head the kesher of his tefillin. That was the image that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu b'shamayim at Har Sinai. He showed, he couldn't see his face, that he couldn't see, but he could see his back, and he could see the back of his Kodesh Baruch Hu's head and the kesher of tefillin, which literally means that he showed, Kodesh Baruch Hu showed Moshe that image at Har Sinai. That's what, after this week's parsha, Kisisa, that when he was davening for Rachamim, he wanted to come to and bring into the world a much deeper, vision of Hashem's love, that Hashem didn't have to destroy us after the Chet HaEgel and bring into the world Rachamim. So he asked to see his face, and Hashem said, no, I can't do that. But says Rashi, he goes, I'll show you my back. And in the back he saw the Kesher Tefillin. Now, so you see already there's a Nevuah from this week's Parsha already that Kodesh Baruch Hu wears Tefillin. But, there are two different parts of the Tefillin. And one side of it, at least, Taf, we'll see, and the Kesher, then this and that. Now, in truth, the Gemara explains that the word tefillin, when it comes to explain what tefillin is, so it calls them in the Chumash totafot. You know the word totafot?
Vayu
totafot. Phylacteries. What are phylacteries? What are phylacteries?
Greek.
What does it mean? Phylacteries just means tefillin. I looked it up once, trying to figure out what the word is. So he says, he writes over there that the Gemara says, so Rashi writes that totafot is actually a type of jewel. It means it's an Ethiopian word, totafot, two boxes or whatever like that. And the truth is that it says that it's really a word for a type of jewelry. Totafot beinei necho. It's a type of jewelry that you wear between your eyes. Totafot beinei necho. Ethiopian word. So it's filling on the head. We'll speak about it. It's a type of jewelry. Now, I want to explain this a little bit. We have to go into this Gemara. What exactly is the concept of jewelry? This is really better when I teach at a girls' school, but So there's a pasuk. What's that? Yeah, that pasuk. Yeah, we spoke about that once.
No.
There's a pasuk. So the pasuk says in Mishlei. So it writes, "Kenezim zohav be'af chazir." Yeah, isha yofe v'suras tam. Says the pasuk. It says like a nezim zav, a gold ring in the nose of a pig. So a beautiful woman who has no understanding. You never heard that one? You don't know that pasuk?
Yep.
So it brings it down in Frekiavos. So the question is about this interesting pasuk. What is, again, back to our images, what is the image? Kenezim zov ba'af chazir. Like a gold ring in the nose of a pig. What's the pshat about a gold ring in the nose of a pig? Well, what is it trying to say there? No, let's hear. We're learning Mishlei. What's the simple pshat? A gold ring in the nose of a pig.
It's a contradiction. It doesn't make any sense.
So, a beautiful woman with time. Well, what's the idea of what a gold ring? What's the matter with a gold ring in the nose of a pig? And what's the problem?
It's a
waste. Why is it a waste?
Because
you're
probably going to slow it real soon, so...
What?
Why try to beautify it?
So...
Gold ring enhances beauty.
Right, so the Rabbeinu Yonah writes like this. He says you understand something. You don't have to understand a little thing about jewelry over here, what the purpose of jewelry is. So he says that, you know, going into Amkus here, so Rabbeinu Yonah says an interesting thing. He writes that ring itself, what's the purpose of jewelry? Because some people think that jewelry is there to make a person beautiful. That's not the purpose of jewelry. Says the purpose of jewelry is to give the person the ability to see the beauty of the face. That's what it's all about. Right? You don't wear a ring in your ear in order that everybody will say and look at the ring and say, ah, it's a beautiful ring. Look at that earring. That's not the idea of jewelry. So jewelry is that a woman will wear jewelry on her face because it enhances the face. It enables the person to see the beauty of the face. That's what it's all about. And if you can't do that, go ahead, what's that? You have a cash on this?
Yeah, in the Gemara, it talks about in two ba'av, the women would dance in vineyards, and it says the pretty ones would say, marry for beauty, for what else are women for but beauty, and the ones with yichus would say, well, marry for yichus, right, because women are for children, and the ones who didn't have yichus and wouldn't be beautiful would say, marry us, because just for the sake of the relationship, so you better give us jewelry, so, you know, I'm saying like, it seems to imply that they're not pretty, but give us jewelry, so at least the jewelry will seem pretty. I'm saying it seems like you're saying that the jewelry will be pretty instead of us.
The pshat is that there are certain people whereby it's more difficult to bring out the real beauty that's there. So they're saying, because you're marrying us, you'll have to give us things that you'll be able to see who we really are, not to see who we're not. That's the idea. That's the concept. So they're betting rights. This is trying to tell them, because you don't have yichus. So what happens? If a person has yichus, so what happens? You look at them, and since you know they have yichus, so immediately you see the wisdom in them. You see because their grandfathers would be kiveger, right? So you must have a lot of chokhmah. So I look at you and I see chokhmah. Somebody looks at me, you know, and my grandfather was something like, you know, Russian communist or something like that, you know. So they'll look at me and they'll say, you don't have any chachmah, you can't see it. Now, it could be that I'm as smart as you, right? But you just won't see it when you look at me because I don't have any yichus. So I have to do something to express it so that people could see it, whereas you, it's automatically your yichus is your jewelry in and of itself. Right? What's the jewelry of a Talmud Chacham? What is the Gemara, right? This week's Parsha. Boy, Hashem, we're collecting things in this week's Parsha. What does it say in this week's Parsha? Is the jewelry of a Talmud Chacham? Remember? No? It says Tanakh. The books of Tanakh.
Wow. 24
books of Tanakh are the jewelry of a Talmud Chacham. That's what it says. It's in this week's Parsha. What does it say? Anybody know what it is in this week's Parsha? I'll give you a test next week. Look and see. It says Keklos, when we came down, we were like a kala, it says. And it says, just as a kala is adorned with 24 pieces of jewelry, Talmud Chacham is adorned with 24 books of Tanakh. But the pshat is, we'll see, what's the pshat that he's adorned with? It's books of Tanakh. The pshat is that Tanakh will enable, when you know Tanakh, it'll give people the ability to actually see the fact that you're a Talmud Chacham. If you meet Dodo, if you meet Nod, it'll make your Torah visible. You need that in order to, you don't have Tanakh. So, still be, the person remains invisible. You can't express it. We'll speak about it more in a minute. So anyway, Vienna writes like this. He says, so the purpose of jewelry is to bring out the beauty that's there. That's why you put jewelry on a person. But yeah, what happens if you put jewelry on a pig? What happens if you put a beautiful piece of jewelry on a pig? What happens?
Accentuates ugliness.
So it's a waste. This is what you're saying. What does it do? You could put all the jewelry you want on the pig, and you're still a pig. Once a pig, always a pig. That bit. It doesn't make you. There's no beauty. If there's no intrinsic beauty to bring out, so then what does the jewelry do? Nothing. Not only that, not only does the jewelry not do anything, it can't make a pig look beautiful with all the jewelry in the world. Not only that, but what does a pig do with its nose? You know what a pig does? Now we have to really get into pigs. You know what a pig does? Pigs, by the way, are very smart. You know that.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Pigs aren't, you know, it's a stupid pig. But the truth is that pigs are one of the most intelligent animals. They're very smart. The reason we don't like pigs isn't because they're, you know, dirty others. It's because they're on the outside, they look kosher, and on the inside, they're treif. That's why we don't like pigs. You know, that's hippie, yeah, that's right. But anyway, So what does a pig do with its nose? Its nose is this long snout, and it uses it like a shovel to dig in the garbage. Now, if you have a big pile of garbage, it wants to dig through the garbage, so it uses its nose, and, you know, I don't want to give a demonstration, but, you know, it back and forth, you know, back and forth, and then it digs in. It's like a shovel to dig in the garbage. And if you put the nose ring on its ring, so what will it do? It'll use the ring to help it dig in the garbage.
Oh,
so not only have you not brought it beautiful, but a pig likes garbage. And it'll use the ring to dig further in the garbage. You're trying to make the pig look beautiful. So kenezim zoav ba'af chazir. Right? So now listen how he switches to the metaphor. So isha yofev esoras tam. So a beautiful woman without wisdom. She's lost her understanding. So now we have to, you know, what's the dibyon over here? So also, you take a woman who has beauty. Now, what is the beauty of a woman? The beauty of the woman is connected to what in the mashal? What's the beauty of the woman?
The ring.
The ring. The beauty of the woman, which is her face, her beauty, that itself is just a tachshit. It's a piece of jewelry for what? To express her personality, the real person itself. And therefore, if she has no understanding, she has no seichel inside, so then what is her beauty? Her beauty is like a ring. It says a woman who doesn't develop from mibifnim, she has no seichel. So then her beauty is just a ring in the ear going, no, it can't make her beautiful. If the person isn't beautiful, all of the jewelry in the world can't make her beautiful. She's still ugly. And in the end, you have this person who's like, you know, on the outside, they have this perfectly set features, and as a human being, they're completely empty, you know. And as a result, the beauty itself is worthless. And not only is it worthless, it can't. You look at the person, and you look closely at them, and you realize it was an empty, ugly person. So yeah. The physical beauty does nothing for them. And not only that, but they use their beauty to dig in the garbage. Right? Really. It just brings them down. And all the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them, wow. Just use it to dig in the garbage. It doesn't uplift. It doesn't do it. Unlike the Avol Ivos, the Yofis Torah, Yofis Marim. The Gaon writes, what's Yofis Torah, Yofis Marim? Yeah, Yofis Torah is a form of the features. Yofis Marim, Ziv Klester Ponim. There's Torah and Marim. Torah is the external form of the features, and Mare, that's the face, the shining face, the beauty of the shining face that comes from the Chochmah. You know that the Ramban writes in Selam Elokim, the Ramban says in Selam Elokim, he says that Selam Elokim literally means that the body of the person has the appearance of being divine in the body of the person, and he says Selam Elokim is the man's shining face, Ziv Klester Ponim. So he learns Pshat in Selam Elokim. Shining face.
Wow.
He says that's already Tzelem Elokim, that you can look at a person, you see their face is lit up with chokhmah, with wisdom and spirituality. He says that's true beauty, and that's mamash the Tzelem Elokim of the human being in the body of the person. It expresses it. So he says,
is that the Ramban?
The Ramban writes that in the Chumash. So he says that, he writes that, that's beauty, that there's the office Torah, the office Marev. It says there are two types of beauty. There's the external beauty, and then there's the internal beauty, which comes from the neshama that shines out to the person. That's the office Torah. That's the office Mara. We write. He says in Shir HaShirim, "Yeah, shchora ani v'noava benos Yerushalayim. Yeah, I'm black, but I'm beautiful. You know, I'm black, but I'm beautiful." So the Gaon writes, "I'm black." He says that's it's discussing the Jewish people in exile. That even though my features are still beautiful on the outside, but I'm black, I have no color in my face. So he writes that Am Yisrael in exile, we're able to do the mitzvot still. And since we're able to do the mitzvot, so we're able to maintain at least a form of beauty. He says, but we aren't able to have any deeper kavanas in the mitzvahs that we do. So our face, you can't see any inner light in the face. The inner beauty isn't there. It's just the features are there, but there's no inner light. That's the shchara and even nava. I'm in exile. I'm black, but I'm beautiful. So he writes over here. It's going. But with Baruch Hashem, we still have beautiful features. You know? Look at it. You know, like anyway. So he says, "What you can ask?"
But then, how can we be banned from not having kavana when we do mitzvahs? Then
we do the best we can, but the deeper kavanas are very difficult for us to have. You know? we have kavanas, what we can do, but the deeper kavanas bring us along, he says, are extremely difficult to grasp and go, we do it, you can still do it. Anyway, but he says like this, so he says that the purpose, you see from here, that's the purpose of jewelry, which it means that the purpose of beauty in jewelry is to express the beauty. Now, there's a klal over here, there's a problem over here, really, which is really what we're getting to, that the real, the idea behind this is that the real, so the real beauty, yeah, in this world is actually invisible. You know, that's how it is. The real beauty of the person, which we're talking about, which is the real beauty of the person, is the beauty of the soul, the beauty of their personality, you know, a beautiful human being. So that's invisible. And there's a klal in life, which is interesting, that the more, the greater the thing, the less visible it becomes. There's an intrinsic paradox, you know, in this world. As I said to you, that means that the greater the human being, the less visible he becomes. Why? Because the greatness of the person, if a person is great in a physical way, he's very wealthy. So it's not so hard to see. Like, he has 6 cars, right, and 3 houses, and these huge mansions, and therefore, it's easy to see it, right? If a person, yeah, he's a physical person, a person who's a great athlete, greatest soccer player in the world, I don't know, some guy who plays in Brazil or whatever his name is, you know. So, you can see it, you go and watch, because his greatness is in something physical, and therefore it's easy to see. However, if your person becomes great in a deeper way, so immediately he becomes great in a spiritual way. And spirituality is invisible, and therefore he becomes invisible. He's so great, the greater he becomes, the less visible he becomes, and the more difficult he is to see. That's why, you know, I told you, I have this thing, I was looking the other day at the pictures of Gedolim. I went to look, I decided, you know, moved houses, I decided I was going to try to get some good pictures of Gedolim. So I went to some of these photography stores, and I was looking at these snapshots of all these Gedolim. And they bothered me. Did I tell you about this yesterday, Kim? These snapshots bother me. So I was trying to figure out what bothered me about all these pictures. And I was looking at that, and I looked at them. And then I realized that the problem with all these pictures is that the people who took the pictures weren't photographers. Yeah. What do? You take a picture of a gun. You take a, like they have these little cameras, and they took a snapshot.
Right.
As a result, what do you see in the picture? Nothing. Because what's the difference between a photographer and a person who takes a snapshot? A photographer is someone who can capture something spiritual in a picture. You can see the person.
Right.
Yeah. That's the purpose of, why do people like to look at photographs? Because they give you eyes to see spiritual things that you can't actually see on your own. A good photographer will take a picture of a tree and it'll, wow! Like, you know, you see the tree for the, like, that's incredible. It grasps something, you know, spiritual there, comes out. A great artist takes a picture of a human being, and all of a sudden you see that human being, and you remember you see the soul of the person, right? Person doesn't have, and the people who take these pictures, that all you see is the external thing, so you see nothing. You know, you don't see a pose that actually grasps the godless of the person. It's very hard to do that, really. So you're really looking at nothing. It's good to have a picture, but you can't bring it out. It's something else altogether. And Bemis, it's a problem, as I said to you, because that's how it is in life. And the greater the person who becomes spiritually great, he's an incredibly loving, kind person, you know, you cannot see it at all, because you can't see chesed. If a person, and especially if tzaddikim, who they hide everything that they do. So the person is left invisible. Right? The person is left invisible. And there's, on the one hand, as a result, there are two things that are necessary for this. As a result, there's a problem. Now, there's a very big problem for a person who's invisible, you know, a great person who's really invisible. The problem is that because he's so great and so invisible, so nobody will be able to see him, and nobody will be able to appreciate that person or gain any benefit from him. As a result, what a person needs as he grows spiritually is that he needs tachshitim, jewelry, which means he needs to find a way to express himself in a form that he'll be able to be grasped by other people around him. And if you can't do that, so then you're going to be invisible and you won't have any benefit. There was a guy, that's the problem with the number. There was a guy once, I remember it was, but I don't know, a long time ago, 10 years ago, it was a bacher who was going out on shidduchim. And he was going out for a while, and he was having a great difficulty, you know, getting married, because there were no girls who were interested in him. Yeah, and the guy was a very sweet guy, he was a nice guy. So once we started talking about it, so I said to him, I said, you have a problem. I said, what's my problem? I said, you're invisible. You know, you're a nice guy, but you're invisible. Like, no girl can see you. Nobody can grasp those things. You don't express yourself in a way that the people who go out, girls who go out, you're able to see your milas. So he said, well, if they like me, they'll see it anyway. What do I have to do? Say, it's not enough in life that you just, you know, are good enough yourself. That's good to be. We work on that on ourselves. But in life, you have to take your panemius and try to express it so that another person can see it and get benefit out of it. If you don't do it, so then why should you expect the girl to marry you? She sees a big zero. Who wants to live with a zero? You know what I mean to say? She says, what should I say? So I said, we have to talk about yourself. You have to tell a story, you know, that gives us that let her see what you care about. You have to express what's important to you. You have to express what's good. If you can't do that, so nobody's going to get married. You never get married. He says, but what? I have to be on now. I'm working on my humility. I said, good, work on humility between you and Hashem. But, you know, now you're trying to get married, right? You have to let somebody... There's a time in life where you have to let people see who you are. And you don't allow people to see who you are so that nobody's ever know. I say, imagine a guy who goes to get a job. And he goes to get a job. And he's an incredibly talented person. He's a genius. And he has a long resume, he has experience, he's the best person for the job. So he goes into the interview, and they say, how did you, what can you do? Nothing really very much. You know what I mean? Nothing very much. He says, well, yeah, do you have any experience? Did you do well in the past? Me? No, I'm really nothing, you know. Yeah, well, how about, you know how to do the work? Okay, well, other people can do better than me, you know what I mean? And he goes on and on for about a 30-minute interview like that, and then he leaves, right? He doesn't get the job. Not only does he not get the job, but who gets the job? A person who is like 1/10 of his credentials. So he comes back and all of a sudden he's like, look, what idiots, you know, they gave this person the job. I could have done that job 10 times better than that person. What are they giving it to him for? This guy came with a long resume and said who he was. So I said, yeah, you're the idiot, not him. You think that you have all the credentials, and whenever somebody asks you what you can do, you say, I'm a nothing, really zero. Wow, what do you expect from them? So there's a clown in life that you have to, in life, it's not enough. We have to work between ourselves to, you know, develop ourselves. But in life, it's necessary to able to wear jewelry. To wear jewelry means you have to find the way that you can wear something that can bring out and make yourself beautiful to other people in the world around you. If you can't do that, so then you're not going to. You're letting people in the world who can't do the job, you know, do something that you yourself can do. It's not, and it's a problem in life. You have to know how to express yourself. It's not pashut. If you can't do that, you can. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he decided he was going to be a tzaddik nister when he was young. You know the story. And he decided he was going to be a hidden tzaddik, and he was a beautiful person, you know. And he's going to be. He was a genius. He was a tzaddik, and he learned half of Shas Baal Peh with Rishonim, and he was going to job as a simple water carrier in a town, and he's going to secretly do mitzvahs like his rebbe. And then he stopped himself, and he said, what am I doing? He said, in our door, in this generation, I'm going to be a secret tzaddik, and what's going to happen to the generation? Oh, he looked at himself, half the door is going off to Haskalah, you know what I mean? And the youth are all going out, and they're learning, you know, man, they're going off to universities, and the women aren't marrying B'nai Torah, and me, I'm being a private tzaddik. who can take the rise to be a private tzaddik, and then who can do it? And so he went public and became a leader, and he let people know who he was, and he started giving shiurim in public, and he formed the wisdom movement, and became a person. I have to make myself visible. I can't remain silent. And they say, Ravomazal used to say that, like when he was much older, he came to a certain town, and somebody came over to him. He said, you know, in the town there's this hidden tzaddik who's like special, you know. He says, maybe you should go and see him. So Yisrael said, I'm not going to go and see him. He said, why? He goes, any person in this door who's a hidden tzaddik isn't such a tzaddik. That's what he said. Because we can't afford to have hidden tzaddikim boilum to go out, show people who you are, bring out, you know, other dorot you can afford. But dor hazeh, express, their job, you have to express yourself, you have to wear jewelry to make yourself visible in life. Communicate. You have to know how to communicate. You know, the Chassidus and the Baal Tanya talks about it. They talk about what tzimtzum is. It's interesting. They have this machlokas with what tzimtzum is. I'm going to grow up, whatever. It's an interesting concept of what tzimtzum. You know what tzimtzum is? I'll speak to this in a minute. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, he says that when he created the world, he had to try to find forms to make himself visible. Now, what I want to say is like this. I skipped. I was out of order. What is it like? That's true for us. I'll explain that more in a minute. So that's hard for us. Yeah, and in general, that's our big, a very big avoda in life, to learn how to express your soul in a way that other people will be able to grasp that. Because if you don't do it, you'll remain invisible. And don't feel bad. And then afterwards you feel bad because nobody appreciates you. That's our level of anava. Where we're so anava, we keep hidden. And then we get depressed because nobody appreciates us. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm a nothing. We have bad self here. It's present. But if that's a problem for us, so it's a much, much deeper problem for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because us, at least, even our great spiritual things are more or less physical and can be seen. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who has every infinite level of perfection, his din is perfect din, and his chesed is perfect chesed, and his, you know, his ava is perfect ava, everything is perfect in the incredible way. And those things that I'm talking about, that's just his midot. We're not talking about a Hashem himself. That's beyond us. So all of these things have, you know, all of the infinite perfection in the world, and it's completely invisible. Because Hashem is spiritual, and nobody in the world can see it or grasp it. So Hashem is here. Think about it for a minute. He's everywhere in this world. There's no place where he's not here. We're surrounded on all sides by a being of infinite perfection on all areas. Yeah, and people are going about zero. Nobody can see him. And he's right here. He's there. Go look. Open your eyes. You know, unfortunately, one of my, I remember my teacher used to say, he once sat us down, he said, what do you think the difference is between Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBo? So he said, what's the difference? He goes, I'll tell you the difference. He goes, Olam HaZeh, we're all sitting in the dark. And Olam HaBo, somebody just turns on the light. You're, that's the only difference. Nothing else is different. Hashem is already here. Only we just can't see him. And people are walking about their way, and what are they involved in life? All they see is baseball and money, and you know, because all they see is, you know, what's before their eyes. And all of the spiritual things in the world, which they're surrounded on all sides, are invisible. They don't see. They're not affected. They go, they're not interested. They don't even know that it's there. The invisible man, you know. So, you know, what is the invisible man to make? So he puts on bandages. Kodesh Baruch Hu Nitatev says he covered himself with a talus, you know, and there's a tremendous light to the world, they say. Because Kodesh Baruch Hu covered himself over, and all of a sudden, psh, incredible! He covered himself up, and then all of a sudden he becomes visible to us. That's how they call symptoms, the Marshal says. But that's a big problem in life. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu's main problem. How do I make myself visible to the world around me? How do I do it?
Just to help people keep free will.
What's that?
To keep free will.
That's why he doesn't do it. But how does he do it? Yes, do it. Mm-hmm. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an answer to that. In other words, which jewelry is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to wear in this world that people will see his beauty? What's his jewelry? So the Gemara asks, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an answer to that. Says the Gemara, what is in Hashem's tefillin? Yeah. So what's an art tefillin? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You know, what's art tefillin? Art tefillin is Hashem Echad. Right, that's our beauty. It says what's in Hashem's tefillin? Yeah, Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Who is like the Jewish people, one nation, ba'aretz? So what is the jewelry of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? The jewelry of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Am Yisrael. We are Hashem's jewelry. Which is a way of saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears us. Yeah, because through us, Hashem becomes visible. That through Am Yisrael, people can now appreciate the beauty of Hashem. Mi kamocha. Am Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears the film, wear his jewelry. And without that jewelry, Kodesh Baruch Hu's beauty is locked up. There's no one to see it. If you don't see the beauty of a human being, so then you'll never grasp the beauty of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That was what we said the other week with Rabbi Yochanan when he cried. They sat down and cried with your beauty. is going to die, you know. What in the world? We left in the dark. Oh, that's something to cry about. And they both cried together. Right? It's only through a human being and Davka, through a tzaddik, through Am Yisrael, that Kodesh Baruch Hu's beauty all of a sudden becomes visible. Wow. Through Am Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu, what does it say? V'yamino, yeah, that's Torah. V'bismaylo, right, that's tefillin. That Kodesh Baruch Hu created Am Yisrael and gave us Torah. And then, yeah, you know, in tefillin there's the head and there's the arm, right? The head is we spoke about putting HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the mind, right? And then you go down, and it connects in the back of the head, right? And then it comes down. One's supposed to come to the heart. That's the idea. You bring the ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have a concept of Hashem, and then there are different types of Chacham and Bina. The Kesher Das is the Kesher in the back of here that connects understanding into Midot. That all of the midot of the person in the heart starts from understanding. We should say many times that out of a depth of understanding comes love and fear. And all the midot come out of a depth of understanding. And so first you have to put Hashem in your head. You know. And then when you come to say you have to connect it, Chochma, Bina, Das, you know, in the back. And then what happens is that you have to bring it down next onto the heart, which is the filling on the arm. Which is you bring the same psukim now into the heart, which means it turns your understanding of Hashem turns into love and fear. And then once you have it and it turns into love and fear in the midot in your heart, so then you go down the arm to your hand and you put the name of Hashem on your hand. That's the idea. You're into the world of action. So you start connecting ruchnias from the head, you know, bring it down to connect it here to dust behind the head, right? That's the spine, like the head. The soft place in the head, that's the place where the brain turns into the spinal cord that affects the body, right? And then you bring it down into the heart, and then from the heart you bring the understanding out into action. That's what tefillin is all about. It's a process. So they say also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has Am Yisrael, yeah, in his head, you know, he has a machshava, right? That's Torah, that's the beginning that he's going to reveal to the world through us. And then he places it, you know, on his arm. That's the Jewish people who take that concept of Torah, which is the revelation of who he is. And we become the embodiment of that, so that it becomes visible in the world. That's on the heart. And then that becomes his strength. We bring it down into the world of action when we do this world, and people can see. And as a result, says the Gemara, that's the purpose of Am Yisrael, that through us, you know, we're able to see, the world is able to see the beauty of Hashem. As it says in the Pasuk, that Hashem is our oz, our strength. He says, what's the pshat that it's our oz, our strength? As it says, V'ru kol amei aretz. All of the nations of the world are going to see that the name of God is dwelling on you, and they'll have a fear of God. That means that all of a sudden they'll look at you and it'll become visible. I had an image once about that, you know, what it means. Imagine a person. Yeah, who, what does it mean to see Hashem? Imagine a person who, there are two people, two guys, and one of them is able to go into the palace to see the king, see a king. And the other one, he wants to go in as well, and they don't let him in. So one of them goes into the palace, and walks into the palace. And the other one, they don't let him in, but there's a high tree, you know, on the outside of the palace, and he climbs to the height of the tree, and there's a window over there. Now, he can't, through that window, he can't see the king, right? And but what he can do is he has this one vision, and he can just see, you know, the red carpet there, and he can see his friend as his friend comes into the room. So what he sees is the following. He sees his friend walking, and he can see the callus, and he can see, you know, the middle of the room. Then he sees his friend walk in. His friend is walking with his head down, and he takes a step, you know, and he sees his friend. He sees his friend look up. And all of a sudden, he sees him look up towards the king. Then he sees his face change. His mouth drops over. And he begins to tremble, you know, like that. And when the friend outside sees the guy inside doing that, he also, all of a sudden, begins to tremble, you know, and falls out of the tree. You know, he's gone. Now, he didn't see the king because he doesn't have the vision to see the king. But he can see someone who can see the king. And that itself reveals to him who the king is. And he's filled full of fear. So also, it's supposed to be with Am Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides to fill him. You can't see Hashem, right? But he can see us who keep his Torah, and through that we're able to get a grasp of the king himself, you know. And through that, you know, fills the nations of the world through fear. Anyway, so the Gemara writes, that's what it means that Kosh Baruch wears tefillin. We're unique. All Yisrael is a unique Am, right? And therefore we're the Tiferes of Hashem. We're Hashem's beauty. Through us, Hashem has beauty in this world. And Hashem is our beauty. That because Kodesh Baruch Hu dwells with us, all of a sudden people are able to see the beauty of Am Yisrael. We, you know, are able to do mitzvahs. As a result, Hashem dwells with us. That's our glory. Peor alai alone. Hashem sees as well. So, and it goes back and forth. Hashem reveals the beauty of Am Yisrael, and we reveal the beauty of Hashem. And a person sees a Jew, and he's wearing tefillin like the Vilna Gaon, you know, when he was in trial, in court. You know this story, that story about the Vilna Gaon when he was in court, and they brought him to court. And he came in wearing his tefillin, and covered with a talus, you know. And the king, you know, at a certain point they were trying to make a judgment, and when he was going to make the judgment, the Vilna Gaon, he just picked up his talus so that you could see, like, tefillin on the top of his head and within the face, you know, and the judge looks at it and he sees the tefillin. That was the end of the case. He let him go and go on there, you know, because we don't have that type of thing. But you know, it says the Rambam writes that somebody who wears tefillin on his head, like the Gaon, you know, and you're not Messiah, you're Das, you're Mekasher, your thoughts to Hashem. That's what the Kesher is in the back, the Dal, you're Mekasher, your thoughts to Hashem. As a result, Hashem dwells with you. And when you're wearing it, it's a person's not shy, a person's not Yehurim. The person will see the light in the face now. The soul of the person will come out because the person's wearing tefillin. See Hashem dwelling there. People, that's our glory. So anyway, we and Hashem, so that's the purpose of this Gemara, to try to explain, because much more death have to stop, but it explains the greatness of the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Am Yisrael. Greatness of Am Yisrael to Kodesh Baruch. The two work together, the two of us. Hashem Echad, there's no one like him. So we say to the world, there's no one like Hashem. Hashem Echad, incredible. Perfection. He's a being that's unique among the entire world. Nothing like him. You got Kodesh Baruch Hu says about us in his tefillin. Always, there's nobody like Am Yisrael. They're unique. There's no I'm like them. I'm a holy nation. You know, Dovek to all of my midot. You know, to him, incredible. Seems both were tefillin. Through that means solve the problem, you know, of being too hidden in this world. That's Golas, is that we are, Am Yisrael remains hidden. Kodesh Baruch Hu remains hidden. Can't see the greatness of Am Yisrael. It's completely invisible, you know. Even on Purim, the girl said to me, the Bachim were so disgusting. I saw them throwing up on the streets. That's people learning Torah. It's disgusting. What kind of, where's the Tiferes of Am Yisrael? And that's what people study Torah are doing. They're getting drunk on the street. Ugh. The girls don't like Purim. So I said to them, your problem is that all you see is the people on the streets. Yeah, people are in Zohar, you know, saying Zohars. You don't see, right? So on the streets, you never see. You can't see in Golas on the streets any greatness. When you're on the street, all you see is the lowest level. Mifnim, and there you'll see something that you don't see. It's invisible. You know, you have to go through. That's a cloud. But in Golas, nobody sees the greatness of the Jewish people, and nobody sees the beauty of Hashem. It's all hidden. He surrounds us on all sides. It's all hidden. But getting out of Golas means that we begin to express ourselves, that panimius. We have to wear Hashem outside. Tiferes on the head that everybody can see. On the arm, but tzina. But tiferes on the head that everybody can see. And when we do that, Hashem will wear us, so to speak. Two of us are not together. Okay. Anyway, the Muslim of the